sports, politics, life. 360 Document Solutions presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at 360documentsolutions.com.
A big thank you to my new friends at the Faithful Patriot Organization, where I was a guest speaker on Thursday night at the Tomahawk Ridge Community Center. It was great to meet those folks. We have a wonderful listener named Terry Frederick, who's been asking me for a couple of months to come be the guest speaker at one of their events. Due to a scheduling conflict with family in May, it got postponed until July, but it was everything I thought it would be. If you are completely offended by people that salute the flag and are standing up and praying together, you will not like this organization at all. But if you like great patriotic Americans who love their country and are faithful people, you will love this organization. If you'd like to learn more, we would encourage you to go to their website, faithfulpatriot.org. That is faithfulpatriot.org. I met a host of interesting people and spoke for about 10 to 15 minutes and took questions probably for another 30. It was really a great group of folks. Sometimes you go speak and you don't get a lot of questions or the questions aren't very good, but it was all over the place. There were sports questions, media questions, political questions. It was so much fun. And a wonderful evening. They meet once a month for about 90 minutes, 6:30 to 8. It's not a, you know, it's not a dinner thing or anything like that. They meet at the community center, and it's just a great bunch of folks. One of the things that they featured during this program before I got a chance to speak was to discuss the new film called Sound of Freedom, which on the 4th of July, for one day at least, was the number one movie in America. This movie was made about 5 years ago, pre-COVID, by Jim Caviezel, who you may know from the Passion of Christ movie. And it is about sex trafficking in America. The number one exporter of sex trafficking, especially minors, which is what this film is about, children that are used for this, the exporting country is Mexico, and the influx, the importing country, is the United States. It is the biggest problem in the world right here in the United States. And I have not seen this film, but I plan on seeing it. It is called Sound of Freedom, and it's the story of a real-life story of Tim Ballard, who worked for 12 years as a special agent for Homeland Security before quitting to launch a nonprofit organization called Operation Underground Railroad, devoted to fighting sex trafficking all over the world, but specifically coming through Central America into the United States. It is apparently a painful, excellent, and necessary film to see that will have you standing up and cheering at the end. People stay through the credits. There's a message from the actor, Jim Caviezel, afterwards, and this is one of those stories that the media does not want to cover. It's difficult. It's unseemly. It is completely and utterly ridiculous and embarrassing for the United States, and is probably the single biggest reason why proponents of closing our border down would want to close down our border. To be quite honest, we've had all kinds of victims in this country of crimes. Many adults, we've had people who've lost their lives, neighborhoods that have been shattered, all kinds of things from people that are just flowing in to our country. But nothing worse than the tens of thousands of young people that are imported into the United States, because apparently our country is filled with sick people with money craving sex with minors. I can't even think of anything more disgusting than this. It's a very difficult thing, and you understand why media don't cover something like this, because it's such an uncomfortable topic. It's so disgusting and despicable. This one, when polling would come out, has to be a 99% thing. It's just insane what's going on in this country. According to this film, we're number one in this worldwide, and there are actually more people involved in sex trade, basically slavery, trafficking, sex trafficking. You're a slave. You're a sex slave, essentially. There are more sex slaves today than there ever were slaves in the United States when slavery was legal. Now, obviously, our population is so much bigger than it once was. But when we're just talking about a sheer number of people, according to this film, there are more people today in sex slavery than there were slaves in the United States when we imported slaves here in America. So if you get a chance to go see it, apparently this week, you know, movie theaters have been struggling, and it's been playing to full houses. And now theaters all over the country are saying, hey, let's get this film in here. It's about to double or triple the number of screens that it can be seen on. It's called Sound of Freedom. And this group, about half the people in the room last night have already seen it. It's had a big run with the Christian community. in its first week, but I think it's going to gain strength in a conservative or American patriot conservative that maybe are Christians that are not as devout as some of the people that have already gone and seen this. So if you'd like to see it, it's called Sound of Freedom. We want to thank our friends at Faithful Patriots for inviting me to speak. They'd love to have you in their organization. They'd love to grow. They're involved in any way. I get a lot of emails from people around Kansas City, whether it's the Lee's Summit School District or North of the River or Overland Park or wherever it may be, that are involved in city councils, school district votes, smaller elections, local elections, and they want a lot of publicity on here. This is a group that is getting bigger, and they will welcome you as any candidate from any part of the city to come on out to their meeting and stand up in front of the group and say, I'm running for this, and here's how we have to vote in the Northland or Lee's Summit or wherever. It is an unbelievable in-person forum for anybody devoted to local politics that wants to get their word out to conservatives. You should use this resource. FaithfulPatriot.org. Check them out. They're awesome people. One of the great folks that was there is somebody I've met several times, a really good guy, an unbelievably talented artist. You may recall, if you listen to the podcast every day, that I go to a Team Smiles golf event every year that raises money to do basically charity dental work for kids that can't afford it all over the country, but in particular here in Kansas City, they have days, and it's raised for that. And there's an artist named Mike DeBus who comes out. He's a live art performance painter, and he has the giant canvas. He did an unbelievable Patrick Mahomes painting. He spins the thing, and he kind of splashes paint on it, and they play rock music, and he kind of dances while he does it. He's unbelievably talented. He does incredible work, not just for individuals, but he does it for charity events and things of that nature. He's just terrific. And he came out last night, and after the event was over, he handed me this beautiful painting that he made of an American eagle, a bald eagle, in front of Old Glory. It is absolutely gorgeous. He said, I listen to your podcast all the time, and I've heard you say you don't have a lot of things up in your office. And I don't. I told him last night, I said, almost everything that I have in here, I've got some pictures of my kids and my family on a shelf and things like that. But I've got Reagan on the wall. I've got a thing that's called Between the Lines on the wall that was a gift. Both of those were gifts. The Between the Lines thing was given to me many, many, many years ago by a radio listener. But the words beneath it, someday I'll read the words beneath it on the podcast. It's a couple paragraphs, but it's everything. So it stays on the wall. It remains. I've got a Trump presidency book that was given to me by Mark Lindquist over at 360 Document Solutions. He's awesome. A couple things like that. But mostly the things I get for myself, I don't put up. I've got boxes of awards and things like that. It just doesn't seem right to me. But I told Mike on Thursday night, I said, I'm framing this and I'm putting it up. It's coming. This is absolutely beautiful. I mean, just gorgeous. If you would like to get in touch with Mike, he's a live art performance painter. It's MikeDeBusPaints@gmail.com. That's Mike, DEBUS, Paints@gmail.com. Or you can go to his website, Mike DeBus, MikeDeBus.com. He's awesome. He's a great guy. So, and I know I say his name wrong all the time. It's Tebus. I always see DeBus. It's DeBus. But he's just a great, great guy. And we're not close friends or anything like that. But I've just been at events where he is. And I wanted to thank him because it's just such a rare thing. And conservatives are like this. He came to the event, knew I was going to be there, and wanted to give this to me. So, Mike, I really appreciate you. MikeDeBusPaints@gmail.com. MikeDeBusPaints@gmail.com. DEBUS. Check him out. And maybe there's something cool there for you, or maybe you'd like to have him out to your event because he's just an awesome guy. Just a really, really, really neat people at this event on Thursday night. Thank you for having me out. And thanks for sharing all the information about Sound of Freedom, a very important film we should all see. Got a lot of feedback on the Taylor Swift podcast yesterday, and we had unbelievable downloads. Apparently Taylor Swift in the headline gets a lot of people to listen to your podcast. And it was a mixed bag. Some of you were like, wow, Kevin, a little cranky today. Don't like Taylor Swift much. Again, I just want to state perfectly clear. I don't think she's untalented or anything like that. I don't personally have anything against her. I merely like to point out to you things that are, if you're conservative and you're concerned about America, that are dangerous, in my opinion, for our culture. And this is no different than what happens in schools and she's really good at it. And no, I didn't purchase any tickets for my kids. I'm not, you know, butthurt because I spent a bunch of money. A lot of people are like, wow, how much did it cost you to send your kids? My kids are grown. They're on their own. All right. That's the rule around here. My kids are grown. They're on their own. They can't live here. They don't get subsidized by dad. They're finding their own way. Someday when I croak, they'll probably get some money. All right. I'll help them with their weddings, events like that. If they give me grandchildren, I'll spoil the grandchildren. No, I did not spend a bunch of money on a Taylor Swift concert, and that's got what I'm all upset about. But for whatever reason, it got big numbers. We got a lot of downloads with Taylor Swift in the headline of the podcast, and it's a very interesting, different take on Taylor Swift if you hadn't heard it. I since learned that the actual number of Swifties, women who identify as Swifties in the United States, no, I take that back, girls, minors, girls and young women, total 31 million. There are 31 million girls and very young women. I don't think there are many Swifties that are over 30. There are girls and young women that identify as Swifties, and they are all being taught the same things by Taylor Swift. And it is not good for conservatives. I can promise you that. No, it's not rap. It's not all this profane stuff. And, you know, that's not it. But there is just an underlying message. I actually got some looks when I said this at the speech last night. I said, the underlying message is you're oppressed as a white girl, okay? You're a minority because you're a girl, which you're not. White is the majority in this country, and female is the majority in this country. So it's very important. The actual majority in this country is white females. That is the majority in the United States. Taylor Swift tells it the other way. You're oppressed. Well, she doesn't say white. Taylor Swift just says girl, but all her fans are white, and Taylor's white. Okay, so the message is white girls, that it's hard to be a white girl, okay? Men are bad, they will treat you poorly, and Republicans will stand in your way of everything that you deserve. That's it. That's what she teaches them beginning at about age 6. They don't even know it. And she does cash in on their vulnerability, so I stand by everything that I said on the podcast. If you like Taylor Swift, like her. I just want you to know what's going on. It's what this podcast is about, what's going on. We don't know what's going on at the White House. I am stunned now about this cocaine story because it is really starting to look like this is a Biden problem. Remember it first started out, they said, well, it was in the library. And then it was probably a tourist. It's in a traffic area. It was probably a tourist that came in and dropped it off. And we believe that for a day or two. I don't know why we believe anything they say. Anything they say. The only truth out of the White House comes when somebody asks a specific question and they don't give an answer. Then you know the answer to the question. That's the only time you get specific stuff. So the questions now are very specific. This belonged to a staffer. It was right by the Situation Room. Okay, this belonged to a staffer, a high-level staffer. Dan Bongino, the former Secret Service agent who worked at the White House, was on Fox News and a podcast host now, says there is zero chance, zero. This is Dan Bongino, who worked there. He knows exactly where the cocaine was found. He said there is zero chance this cocaine belonged to anyone other than a member of the Biden family. Zero. He argues that no staffer would get it there. Staffers have to go through security every day, metal detectors, all these other things. The only people that bypass a detection of something like this would be family members, that they routinely walk by the screeners and everything. In other words, Hunter Biden, for example, can just come and go. It doesn't matter. Like, he could actually be carrying a gun and nobody would ever know it. Family members come and go at the White House. That's kind of the rule of the White House. Family members don't have to go through security. They don't have to take their shoes off, all this other stuff. They just come and go. And he's suggesting this is an area where family could be, because they would go have access to Joe Biden. Donald Trump is raising the prospect of the fact that Hunter is supplying cocaine for Joe Biden to keep him alert. I'm no expert on cocaine. I'm not. It seemed very Trump that Trump invoked the name of Joe Biden. Could it be his cocaine? Hell, I don't know. Seems to me like he's given his kid a free pass on drugs for a long time. I think the growing suspicion here is this belongs to the family. I can't even, That seems impossible to me. It seems absolutely impossible, but it reached critical mass for the Bidens on Thursday when they trotted out. What did they do? When they knew the questions were coming about Bidens and cocaine, what did they do? Where's Karine Jean-Pierre? Nope, nowhere to be found. Where's the other lady? Nope, nowhere to be found. They trot out a mid-level dude named Andrew Bates, who's a white guy. They trot him out to speak to the media, and he gets barraged with these questions. And he says, I have to be careful because of the Hatch Act. The Hatch Act is about what you can say from the White House during a campaign. In other words, you can't have the daily press briefing and have your person sit there campaigning for you. This is a law, and everybody respects it. And now the Biden administration is invoking the Hatch Act, saying they can't comment on the cocaine. How the cocaine and campaigning have anything to do with one another is beyond my comprehension. I am not smart enough to know that. But I know a turd when I smell it. This story is a turd for Joe Biden. If this was a tourist, they would have said that. If this was somebody easily fired, an intern, some 24-year-old that, you know, just got out of Harvard, and throw them under the bus. That would have happened by now. Now they're saying maybe some information next week, but we still probably will never know who it belonged to. This is impossible for any American to believe, that a person could smuggle into the White House cocaine, leave it in a cubby near the Situation Room, and nobody at the White House or Secret Service can find out who it belonged to. This is impossible. Nobody would believe that in a movie. Nobody would ever believe that. There are cameras everywhere. This is not hard. There are clearly fingerprints, and there's DNA on that baggie. This is not that hard. They've swabbed every single person that has ever walked down that hallway. They have the DNA of every single one of them because of COVID. That's a promise. Every single one of them, they can match DNA. This is absolutely ridiculous. And the longer it goes, and the more they do something like send Andrew Bates out there to invoke the Hatch Act, the more you have to look at this and say, this is them. They know exactly. I mean, right now, if you're asking me, I think Joe and Hunter Biden know exactly whose cocaine it was. Even if it was, is Hunter Biden got a girlfriend? I never know who these family members are when I see them. The family's a weird mess, and I don't really know who they all are. So, but clearly, he's always kissing on a woman or something. There's babies around. I don't know who belongs to who. I know that Joe Biden is acknowledging the grandchild in Mississippi or wherever it is in the South where the crack prostitute lady, whatever, got pregnant by Hunter and has to pay child support to the baby, to the mom. They don't recognize that as a grandchild, I guess. This family's a mess. That's all I know is they're a mess. I'm sorry. At some point, you drop the, I feel bad that you have a kid that is a screw up, because I do feel bad for people that happens to. And there are lots of good people in the world that have a child that, and they've raised their child the right way and done all the right things, and bad things happen. When it is a pattern within a family that is just a train wreck, you look to the top and you say, what is wrong? You know, we uncomfortably talk about this about Andy Reid's kids and things that happened with his family. Was it being ignored? It's hard to believe that it's genetic, you know, that you've got two sons with a drug lab in your basement and you don't know it. That's hard to believe. That's what happened in Philadelphia when Andy was there. They both got busted, felony charges, running their own drug ring out of Andy's house, driving down into the most dangerous parts of Philadelphia to deal the drugs because it made them feel great. It was exciting to them. It's hard to believe that the things that have happened in some way didn't have something to do with something that was wrong within the house. I don't know. I see the Bidens the same way. That family's a mess. I mean, who's in charge? How is Joe allowed to run for president in that family? Who's in charge? How come nobody in the Biden family can ever say no? Because the simple answer to Hunter is no, you can't come to the White House. We'll financially support you, but go live your life. You're bad for business around here. You're bad, Hunter. You're bad for us. And in all likelihood, you've never gotten better. and you're still worse. Or you can come back after you check in for 6 months at Betty Ford. But nobody's strong enough to do that. And now we got to talk about Dr. Jill, because she enables her husband to be embarrassed on a weekly basis, mostly a daily basis, but a weekly basis for sure, tripping and falling, stumbling through speeches, embarrassing himself, embarrassing the family. This is pathetic. There's something really dysfunctional and wrong about that family. And as soon as I heard them invoke the Hatch Act, saying, we can't comment on that because the Hatch Act, I thought, oh boy, they know exactly whose cocaine that is and what happened, and they're not going to tell us. And Tom Cotton is out there saying, we want every bit of information that the Secret Service has, everything, right now, the senator from Arkansas, and he's right. And they're asking, if you find out, do you want to prosecute the person? You know, what's going to happen here? These are all great questions. I don't think this story goes away. At some point, don't we have to step up in this country and say, okay, this is the one that's simple, easy, and over the line. This has all the salacious things that Americans love in a news story. It's drugs, it's politics, it's intrigue, it's celebrities, it's all those things. This is exactly the kind of story that Americans crave. I talk about it on this podcast because you love this story. I know you love this story, and you want to know whose cocaine it is. You want to know in the worst way. I get that. And I hope the media stays all over it. And I actually think they will this time. KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Back 9 is a custom builder. They build beautiful custom homes. They're working on several projects right now in the Kansas City area, but they also work in Lawrence, Topeka, or Manhattan if you'd like to build there. They do commercial properties, condominium complexes. They'll also do big room additions if you're looking for something like that. Back9development.com is the website. T.J. Vilkanskis is a great American patriot. He should be your builder. He's really, really a nice man. He's a family man and loves his country. 785-236-0161 is T.J.'s number. If you'd just like to reach out to him and say, hey, listen, maybe you're a developer. Maybe you'd like to partner with somebody, or you've got an idea or a piece of land. T.J.'s somebody you want to meet. If you're in this industry, you want to meet T.J. If you're starting a subdivision and you're building homes, or you have some land somewhere and have thought about it, or especially if they're like 3/4 acre or 1 acre lots or more for custom homes, TJ's somebody you want to meet. Back9development.com, TJ Vilkanskis at 785-236-0161. Window World, simply the best for less. The auction is open for Action for Autism. Boy, that's a mouthful. Action for Autism is a Midwest-based charitable organization founded 15 years ago. You obviously know what they do, and to date, Window World has raised over $1 million for this organization. Their goal this year is $400,000, so John Gillette at Window World has kicked in a $40,000 remodel package for you, for your home, if you'd like to do that. It's awesome. $40,000 is the value. It's windows, siding, doors, everything you can think of, up to $40,000 for any home, your home, a rental property, somebody else, your church, your building, whatever it may be. It's a $40,000 value, right? And there, you know, contact your tax person, but there is a tax deductible portion of this as well, because this is for charity. Go to windowskansascity.com and you'll see the auction right at the top of the page. windowskansascity.com. This sounds too good to be true. It's totally legit. Right now, the bid is $20,000 for $40,000 worth of work, with all installation and all warranties applied for all of the products. It's half price right now. WindowsKansasCity.com. 80 counties in Kansas and Missouri qualify for this work to be done in your county. They've got a whole list of them there. So check it out. And if you'd like to donate to Action for Autism, that'd be awesome. There's a link right there at WindowsKansasCity.com for you to click on Action for Autism. And you can donate $10, $20, whatever, not part of the auction to win all the windows. But man, if you want to support John's charity, that'd be awesome. He's a great guy. And I think there are times that he'd actually rather you support his charity than buy his windows, because people need windows. When they need windows, they call him. But they would love it. He would just be thrilled if you could donate $20 to Action for Autism. They got big goals this year, trying to raise $400,000 in August at their annual dinner. Great stuff. WindowsKansasCity.com. Email from a listener. I love this one. Hey, Kevin, I wanted to give you a shout out. 2 weeks ago, I was in Omaha for a baseball showcase tournament with my son. Decided last minute to get tickets for game one of the College World Series final. What a great game to attend. Total bucket list item. And a great evening with my son. Something I never thought I'd be able to do with my dad. Great memories were made. At any rate, I got my tickets from Tickets for Less. It was such an easy process. They were prompt with the replies on every email, every step of the way. It was pricey, but I imagine not as pricey as if I didn't use them. I'll tell you, I accidentally forgot to use the KKHI promo code. I did, however, remember to use it 2 days later to get tickets for, and then I'm not going to tell you what he did because he got these as a gift for somebody, and I don't want you to know what he did because I'm not sure that that person knows about the gift yet, but maybe. And again, Tickets for Less did not disappoint. It's so easy and so convenient. Thank you so much. We love your sponsors, and they should be proud to be associated with a great American conservative like you. No, I'm actually proud to be affiliated with them, and Tickets for Less is awesome. Do not forget the promo codes, folks. If you think maybe you're using a business that's one of ours, use the promo code. It's going to save you money every time. It just takes money right off. It's money in your pocket. The promo code is always KKHI. It's that simple. KKHI. Got another great email from a listener. And a lot of times I don't give names because I just never know whether I can or not. So sorry I didn't give you his name. Another listener sent this to me about what happened in Wisconsin. And it was weird because Ken Jennings, who's the host or part-time host or wannabe host of Jeopardy, I think he's a committed liberal. Well, I know he's a committed liberal. And he put a weird tweet out about something that happened in Wisconsin. It got a lot of people looking at a law in Wisconsin. Tony Evers is the governor in Wisconsin. He's a leftist. He's an educator. Wisconsin's legislature is all Republican. So they got a mixed government there and need to get their governor out to have good things happen in Wisconsin. But they don't have that. So the Republicans pass a budget, and they have tax cuts in it. They got all kinds of good stuff in this budget. It passes. They send it to the governor and hope he's not going to veto it. Now, we know a veto is what? A rubber stamp. Psh, nope, not signing this, so it's not law. Kicks it back to him to rewrite it and send something else over. Oh, but not in Wisconsin. They sent over the budget. Well, I'll get to the tax cuts because that was previously to Evers. The current one, what this guy did this week, is unbelievable. They sent over a bill with the budget to raise the budget for schools in Wisconsin by $315, I think, per student. So a huge sum of money. It's in the billions. So they have this budget, and it looks good. $315 seems pretty good, and it runs through 2024 and 2025. The veto law enacted in 1930 in Wisconsin apparently allows the governor to change numbers in a bill as part of a veto or not a veto. So in order to not veto it, he can change numbers. You cannot change letters. You can only change numbers and characters. So it says in there the 2024-25 school budget. He took out the first two, the zero, and the dash, and changed this bill to raising the money per student until 2425, the year, 2425, or 402 years from now. He literally scratched out two numbers in a character, struck them, and gave the increase. And it must be listed as a percentage, I guess. No, he could have just because he could have raised that. I think it says the dollar amount. But anyway, this will now be enacted for 402 years in Wisconsin until they go back and change it. This is the craziest veto law I've ever heard. And it's almost 100 years old. And it seems to me the first order of business in Wisconsin is to change their veto law. He had previously taken the Republican tax cuts and changed them to zero on one of these and then signed it. Because as part of his veto power, he can change numbers. What's the point of a legislature if you can just change the numbers in any bill that comes across your desk? This is insane. Wow, does Wisconsin have a problem? I mean, that's a big problem in Wisconsin. I was talking last night with the group at the Faithful Patriots. how in the world, what is Kansas doing, or Missouri for that matter, with their legislature not changing our school boards and lower elections judges? How are we not denoting on the ballot whether these people are Republican, Democrat, or neither? Which is what they should say. Yeah, I don't think independent is the right way to go. But maybe Republican, Democrat, because independent is just going to be loaded with Democrats. I think you should have to declare. If you're on a ballot running for a school board or something of that nature, or council, you should have to declare which party you're in. You should have that. That needs to be passed. That's a Topeka and Jefferson City thing. Why don't we have that? We have strongly red states. Why don't we pass that? Why don't we let people know when they go vote who they're voting for? Because people don't know. They may go in to vote for something else and see all these things down ballot, like judges. Judges, that's an easy one. I would want conservative judges across the board. That's so easy. That's the easiest decision ever. And most independents would feel that way. County sheriff, I want a Republican. There are certain things that you got it. There are certain places it's more important than even school board. Let's be honest. Why don't we vote smarter? Why do we have so many things in this country that keep people from voting how they want to vote? It seems like we have a lot of that. We also have a lot of problem with interest rates that are going up again. Mortgage rates went over 7% this week. I saw this was just stunning to me. And this isn't my game, but it used to be. You know, when you're raising kids, you're in your 20s or 30s trying to buy your first house. And you look at something now, and we're using the number here, $400,000 for a house, which you can certainly buy them for less. You can certainly buy them for more. But as the example of the way they're using this now, they put out a chart from when Trump was president, and you could have gotten an interest rate at 2.9% versus today over 7% with Joe Biden. A $400,000 house after 30 years of payments with Donald Trump as president, all your interest and everything over 30 years, your $400,000 house would cost you $604,000. That's always been a good deal at a low interest rate because your house at that point is going to be worth more than $604,000. So even though you've paid the interest, you've gotten a tax deduction on it, it's been smart business. It's good business. Again, under Trump, a young family starting out, $400,000 house, 30-year mortgage, cost $604,000 total over time. Joe Biden's America, your $400,000 house today, 30-year mortgage, will cost you $1,027,000. That is a difference of $423,000, or Joe Biden as president costs you more than the actual house you're buying. That's right. The difference between Trump and Biden costs more than the actual house you're buying. Now, these are a little complicated things to do through audio. They're very simple on paper. I don't know how these things can become part of a campaign, but they need to become part of a campaign. These are numbers that people should be able to understand. It costs you for a person buying a $400,000 house, it costs you $400,000 more to buy that house under Biden than it did Trump. Pretty simple way to say it, but it's unbelievable because it's everywhere with this president and this administration. So a lot of people are choosing to stay home. That's where Cross Kitchens KC comes in. They'd love the opportunity to remodel for you, whether it's a simple little bathroom off the kitchen that needs some new countertops and upgrading, or if you want to remodel an entire floor or an entire kitchen or a man cave, crosskitchenskc.com can do it for you. Family owned and operated in Belton, Missouri. Kitchen remodeling, countertop replacement, floor refinishing. Okay, this is every project the owner is on. Tim Cross is part of every single project. He will personally come and meet with you and would love to discuss what you'd like to do in your home. Give him a call at Cross Kitchens, 816-898-7047, or online at crosskitchenskc.com. The Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan and Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment Center and a Restaurant. On the first floor, you can reserve the boardroom as a satellite office for the week or have your group there. They've got party spaces inside Goolsby's, which is an awesome way to have quarterly meetings if you want to get out of town and do some team building. They'd love to host your event at Bluemont Hotel. There's fun things to do, especially during the school year. Things are going on there. Aggieville is always hopping. There's interesting entertainment around town. Manhattan's got a lot of cool things going on. If you'd like to go there and take your group there, they host businesses at the Bluemont Hotel, and they'd love to host yours. For a group of two or three of you that maybe are in different areas that meet up every now and then for meetings, or if you want to take your whole team to Manhattan for a couple of nights and have a wonderful meeting space where you can have a great time and do some fun stuff, they'd love to host you. BluemontHotel.com. Ask for group reservations or business meetings, or maybe you're going to be going to an event there this summer, as I'm going to be doing, and that's where you'd like to stay. The Bluemont Hotel would love to have you there. BluemontHotel.com. And my buddy Brad over at the new car image, I'm getting a lot of emails from you and feedback on the new car image. Is this legit? How good is it? I've never detailed my car. If you do it once, you're probably going to want to do it once a year. At least. You won't believe what your car... Look, people are keeping their cars longer, which is awesome. Your car may be 7 or 8 years old. Refinish it, man. He's going to pop that thing and bring it back to life like you can't believe. TheNewCarImage.com. They'll travel to where you are. It's a mobile unit all around the Kansas City and Lawrence area. And if you want to now, if you do the full detail, interior detail, if you do the book the full interior detail, they will give you the ceramic coating free. Depending on the size of your car, that's a $300 to $500 value, absolutely free, free. The ceramic coating is ridiculous. The water never sticks on your car. It just rolls right off. It's really, really cool. This is so much better than wax. This is not some wax thing they're doing. This ceramic coating will make it shinier and slicker than the day you drove it off the showroom floor. That's no stuff. He's done this for me and Jessica. We've never seen anything like it. It's thenewcarimage.com. 816-499-1470. He also works with fleets. If you have vehicles in your company and you're tired of your employees beating them up and not taking care of them, he can come by and do a couple of them each month. Not necessarily the ceramic coating or whatever, you can, but if you just want to keep them clean and looking good for people to see about your company, I'd highly recommend thenewcarimage.com. On to sports. Here we go. The Big 12 football media poll is out, and Texas is predicted to win the league. Gosh, they get predicted to win the league a lot. It's almost a joke to hear Texas because they never win the league. And I never really know what they're predicting here. Are you predicting the regular season champion? Are you predicting the team that's going to win the Big 12 title game? I don't know what they're predicting here because they're really two different things. Like teams that have injuries or change with quarterbacks and things like that have a very good chance of winning the Big 12 championship game. Teams that generally win the regular season are the ones that had a quarterback play every game. They didn't have many injuries. Maybe their schedule was a little more favorable and things of that nature. So I don't know exactly what they're trying to predict, but Texas is that team. Texas is loaded with athletes, but until they win it, we really shouldn't fear Texas, right? K-State is picked second, and I'll do the same thing here I did with Jalen Daniels. And that Jalen Daniels was picked as the preseason offensive player of the year. And only one time in the last 19 years has that player actually done that. Kansas State has great years when they're picked eighth. So I'll say the same thing. K-State picked second. Uh-oh. Oklahoma third. I mean, K-State being picked ahead of Oklahoma is just a giant uh-oh. It is. And it always has been. Whenever the media comes around and goes, wow, they're pretty good. That coach knows what he's doing. They did this a few years with Snyder. They got a quarterback coming back. It was always, uh-oh. And not always by K-State's fault, but there were some years where they thought, okay, we're good. Kansas State's never been a program that can think it's good. You just can't. You always have to play with a chip on your shoulder if you want to win. Kansas comes in at ninth. West Virginia comes in dead last at 14th. The new schools, in no particular order here, the new schools coming in, finished at 8, 11, 12, and 13. So not much respect for the new schools coming in. I think UCF is 8, so it's the only new school in ahead of Kansas. Kansas at 9 surprised people. They got a great dynamic quarterback, score a lot of points, and they pretty much play everybody close, pretty much everybody. They had a couple that weren't. Kansas at 9th surprising to you? If they make the step, the leap that they made last year from the first year of Lance Leipold, if they make another step like that this year, they could finish in the top three. If they make that step. Now, is that the harder step? What's the harder step, getting out of the basement and getting to a bowl? Or going from a bowl to contending. That's two different things. I don't have the answer, but the media clearly don't think Kansas is ready to contend in any meaningful way. The Chiefs are still talking to wide receiver free agent DeAndre Hopkins, who's only 31 and says he's got at least 5 years left. He wants a $15 million contract. The Chiefs don't have it. They've got a cap problem. They're trying to get Chris Jones signed. If they do, some cap space will free up. The leading contenders here are Tennessee and New England. But clearly, at this point, can we not all agree that DeAndre Hopkins wants to play for the Chiefs? That he has not signed with New England or Tennessee because there's no reason to do that at this point. Those offers will remain. Let's wait and see what the Chiefs can offer after Chris Jones signed or if some money frees up. It's obvious that's what he's doing. It means DeAndre Hopkins wants to play with Patrick Mahomes. I don't blame him. He wants to win a Super Bowl, and he wants to be in the Hall of Fame. And there's going to be a trail of people that played with Patrick Mahomes that are going to be in the Hall of Fame. Chris Jones is going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's won two Super Bowls. It's your ticket in the NFL. It is your ticket. Tyrann Mathieu will probably be in the Hall of Fame. He played with Patrick Mahomes and won a Super Bowl. You won't believe the trail of players that make it into the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because they played with Patrick Mahomes. DeAndre Hopkins knows that. If he's asking $15 million a year, and I don't know the numbers the other teams are offering, but let's say those teams are offering $15 million. Would he take $12 million to play here? Yeah, I think he would. Would he take $7 million guaranteed with incentives? That if we do win the Super Bowl in Kansas City, it goes up to $15 million? Maybe. You don't know, but it's pretty clear he doesn't want to sign until he knows what Kansas City has. And I think that's pretty cool. Brooks Koepka is becoming my favorite golfer. So many people hate him, which is probably why I love him. Brooks Koepka is on the LIV Tour. He's got five majors in his back pocket. He won the PGA this year and is just a tremendous competitor. Through COVID and injuries, he's won five majors in 6 years. That's astounding. Koepka is a truth teller. He is a conservative. He is tired of BS in the world, and he calls it like it is. When you play on the LIV Tour, you play on a team, and you have three teammates. Koepka's team is called Smash GC. I guess that's golf club. Smash. And he has a teammate named Matthew Wolf on his team. Sports Illustrated has released a feature on Koepka this week, and they've been interviewing him for a while. And they released this ahead of the golf event that's in London beginning today. Koepka's comments to Sports Illustrated came on the heels of Wolf withdrawing from a tournament outside Washington in May prior to the final round, citing an undisclosed injury. The five-time major winner basically criticized and went nuts on his teammate Matthew Wolf's work ethic. Quote from Koepka, "I mean, when you quit on your round, you give up and stuff like that, that's not competing. I'm not a big fan of that. You don't work hard. It's very tough. It's very tough to even, like, have a dynamic team when you've got one guy that won't work, one guy that's not going to give you any effort. He's going to quit on the golf course, break his clubs, gets down, bad body language. It's very tough. I've basically given up on him. A lot of talent, but I mean, that talent is wasted." Wow. I mean, come on. You got to love Brooks Koepka for saying that. You do. He's got scoreboard. He knows what it takes to win majors and be great. He's got five of them, for crying out loud. He's already one of the greatest players of all time, and he's probably not done winning majors. And he's basically given up on Matthew Wolf. That's the best thing Matthew Wolf needs to hear. I'm sure he's heard it from Koepka. But for this to be in Sports Illustrated and for the whole world to be talking about it, Matthew Wolf needs that. I promise you Matthew Wolf needs that. I commend Brooks Koepka. I give him all the credit in the world for speaking out and doing that. That is awesome. Major disappointment in Kansas City sports media. I'm disappointed in the sports media in Kansas City frequently. They have become just complete and total ass kissers. They are. That's all they do. Everything's good, 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 good. Goody, 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 goody. I mean, there's really no outcry against the Royals at this point. Why? Everybody in the sports media wants a new stadium. They want to go sit in a fancier press box and have better meals and a better experience downtown. They're in it for themselves. So there's not even that much harsh criticism of the Royals, for crying out loud, who are just a laughing stock. I mean, just a pathetic organization at this point. This is a headline in the Kansas City Star about the match, which we discussed yesterday, and the television ratings that they had. Let me remind you what they were, in case you didn't hear yesterday's podcast. There were 782,000 viewers worldwide for the match with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. The rating was down 50% from a year earlier. It is about 1/9 the audience of the first match in 2020. It couldn't have been worse. There's no way to sugarcoat what happened to TNT and the match. It's a disaster. I mean, a complete and utter disaster. Every media outlet around the country, same thing. What a train wreck. This thing's got to end, or they got to reformat it, whatever. It's a disaster. It couldn't have been worse. Complete and utter disaster. Headline in the Kansas City Star. Ratings for the match crush All-Star Game reveal show. Apparently, while the match was on, they were over on ESPN with some sort of reveal show of who the All-Stars are, which is happening, I'm sure, in real time on your phone while you're watching the match. But that was unriveting television over on ESPN. So the Star is bragging up that Patrick Mahomes is such a superstar, and Travis Kelce, that everybody in the world loves them so much, they would rather watch them golf than a reveal show. I'm like, unless it's a Bachelor reveal show, nobody's watching. You just don't. Remember the FIFA did their group thing? And I'm sure globally it did really well, but it was a complete ratings bomb in America. Like, nobody was watching the World Cup reveal show. What? March Madness reveal show does well. It's a different kind of thing than an all-star game reveal show. Ugh. I can't imagine watching anything worse. But there it is. Your Kansas City. And then the story's just glowing. Everybody loves these guys so much. Look at this. It crushed a baseball show. Ratings for the match crush all-star game reveal show. Nuts. Our final is brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. I just want to remind you, if you've never been real happy with your smile, or you kind of pull your lips over your teeth when you're talking to people in front of you, just end it. Just do this. Invisalign's easy. It's non-invasive. It's the same price as braces, and Fry Orthodontics give you a smile you'd be proud of. fryorthodontics.com. There's 13 locations near you. There's even programs where you don't have to do it all in person. You can do a lot of your checkups from home in front of your computer. They'll do video checkups. If you just don't like going, I get that. Get your smile for life. fryorthodontics.com. The Finch Knife Company, they've got the Shiv series is out now. The Flint series has just been revealed. FinchKnifeCo.com is always putting new collections of knives out there for you to see. If you're a collector, get them all. They're beautiful pieces of art. Or you can carry one every day. Or you can carry a different one every day. Mother of pearl handles, wood, bone, beautiful pocket knives. Keep life from getting dull this summer with a knife from FinchKnifeCo.com. That's FinchKnifeCo.com, based right here in Kansas City. And you can find them at Shields, The Bullet Hole, and Teague Tractor. And my buddy John over at Amazing Garage Floor. I got a text that John called the new car image and was having his truck cleaned up real nice. They were detailing his truck. Now, he uses this work truck, and he's probably tired of it, you know, looking kind of dirty and older and whatever. What a great service. He could literally have the mobile unit. While John is out working on a job at somebody's house with his crew doing a floor, he could have his truck in the driveway or the street, and new car image could come by and detail for that for him in the time that he's there working, doing the floor. You can do this anywhere, which is really cool. But John, thank you for calling New Car Image, and I can't wait to see your truck. He's in my neighborhood a lot. He's done many garages in my neighborhood, including my neighbor two doors down. So I'm sure I'll see him sometime soon. I can't wait to see what his truck looks like after they did that. But Amazing Garage Floors, I'll just be honest. It's so much easier to clean up your Amazing Garage Floor than it is to clean up your car. You won't need any help cleaning your garage. If you get an Amazing Garage Floor, you need no help. Most times, you don't have to get the hose out. You just get the blower out and blow it off, and it looks great. I hose mine out probably every 4 months. Sometimes it's only twice a year. It's after the winter for sure. And maybe I'll do it here again at the end of summer just to kind of pop it and freshen it up because a lot of dust and stuff gets in there. But I blow most of it right out. It's such a cool product, man. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Our final is the Cincinnati Reds. If you're like me, you know nothing about the Cincinnati Reds other than Ken Griffey Jr. is still their third or fourth highest paid player because they took all the money they owed him and took it out over 20 years or something, and they're still paying him. The Reds don't have a high payroll. The Reds have been a laughingstock for a while. They've been a really bad team. And I don't know whether this should make you happy to hear this as a Royals fan or disgusted that it's not the Royals. I don't know which. I think those will be the two reactions. The Cincinnati Reds, who've had close to the worst product in baseball the last decade, currently have won 23 of 29 and have moved into first place in the National League Central. They are 23-6. Ass nuts. 17 games over 500 in their last 29, and they've got a two-game lead in first place in the National League Central. Will it last? I don't know. I'm not an expert on the Reds. Well, we know they're better than the Royals. That's what we can say, because they've just won 23 of 29. So what they're doing is working. And their roster is young, and it's cheap. They've got a couple older guys in there, but not many. It's young, and it's cheap, and they're winning. It can be done. The Royals are getting ready to draft. The draft's coming up. We'll see what they get for younger players. At this point, I see no point in drafting pitching if you're the Royals. Just go try to get the needle in the haystack, great hitter, and go that way and try to find your pitching elsewhere, because they're so bad at drafting and developing pitching. But the Cincinnati Reds, if the Cincinnati Reds can do it, then presumably the Royals can do it. 23 out of 29. Congratulations to the Reds. There's a lot of similarities. We've never been there between Kansas City and Cincinnati. Cities are very similar. Very similar. Very similar. The Queen City. Their chili, that stuff they had, that chili, it's bad. It is not good. It is not, I don't know what it is, but it's not chili. And I don't know whether it's sweet. It's sweet and gross. It's sweet and sour, tangy. Yeah, it's bad. It's what they call that, Skyline chili? Ooh, no thanks. Tried it once. That's enough for me. Not good. Of course, there's many different variations on chili. Dixon's chili in Independence is basically a pile of hamburger with onions in it, right? Is there anything else to it? They'll put it on spaghetti noodles. It's just ground hamburger with some onions in it. Well, that's not chili. They do have great tacos at Dixon's Chili. Their salsa is pretty good that you put on there as well. I think they use that chili meat. It's basically taco meat that's not even flavored much. I don't know. Maybe I should go back sometime soon and check it out. It was Harry Truman's favorite place. See, the final can take you anywhere. I love chili, period. I love chili. And I think I'm going to have my mom over Sunday. My son is here from Austin. Instead of going out to dinner, I think I'm going to grill. And she said, well, you know me, I love hot dogs. I said, yes, you do. And she loves chili dogs. So I'm going to look for a really good chili sauce to put on them and make her a chili dog. She likes chili and cheese. And Cameron and I will probably have hamburgers. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. You never know where it's going to go with your final at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.